All right, 1 Samuel 24, if you would, in your Bibles, please. You know, you go through Sunday school sometimes, if you're like me, all your life, and you hear these Bible stories over and over again. And, excuse me, maybe they don't mean a whole lot to you at the time. They're just like a neat story or interesting thing. But there's actually a principle found in many of these that as children we don't often understand. And so we're going to take a look at this, and we're not going to read the whole chapter tonight for sake of time. But if you'll stand out of love and respect for God's word, we're going to pick this story up in verse 16. And then we're going to just read through 22, and then we will go back and cover some of these things after that. But I'll read to you tonight. Just follow along in your Bibles. 1 Samuel chapter 24. And beginning in verse 16, and it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, forasmuch as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killedest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now, therefore, unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men gat them up unto the hold. And of course, you know, this is the story about Saul chasing David around the countryside, trying to kill him. Saul, you know, at one point is tired there, and he goes in and rests in a cave, and David and his men are in there, you know, and they have an opportunity to kill him. But David said that we're not going to touch the Lord's anointed. We're not going to do this evil, he even called it. But they of course let him go. And all of these events happened. In our Christian lives, there is something about staying true to God and His Word, to the things of God, and not moving off of those things, no matter what the circumstance. That's simply loyalty. And that's the characteristic we're going to talk about tonight in the Christian life, is loyalty. As you look through this and you see here in David going back in conjecture back and forth, and I would ask you to take time on your own this week, perhaps, to read through this chapter. And we know that I told you about him being in the cave, and David arose and he cut off the skirt of Saul's robe. And later on, it tells us that he even felt bad about doing that. But certainly about not killing him. He said that this is something that he was not going to do. And can I tell you something? It didn't so much have to do with Saul himself, but rather that it was the Lord's anointed. In verse 6, he says, And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. You know, this thing of David, and listen, David had a just cause. As just a cause as anybody might have. But he did not go against God's choosing. God's anointed was the whole idea. Saul was anointed by Samuel to be the king. This was a thing. God had taken away the kingdom from Saul, but Saul was still alive. And until he was removed by God and David put in his place, that was God's business. And David dealt with that accordingly. You know what that is? That's loyalty. Saul appreciated that. We read that part, how he understood and knew that this was what was going to happen. And he told David, surely you're going to be the king. And this all happened and took place. But even Saul recognized David's loyalty to God. Can people recognize your loyalty to God in your life? By how you act? By the things that you do? No matter what circumstances arise. That's loyalty. It's faithful to a superior. True to the faith. True to duty. Or true to love. Not treacherous. Not treacherous. You see, there are circumstances that will show up in your life and in my life. And if we stay true to God, if we stay true to His Word, and we're also going to talk about staying true to the church, and not just like a building, if you will, or perhaps a name of a Baptist or such and so forth, but rather true to what the local church is in the Word of God and the people that make up that church. We're loyal to those such things. And ultimately, we know it's God. God is faithful to bless us. Over in Joshua, this passage as well. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. You know what this is talking about? Not dealing treacherously with Him. Not undermining God. Not taking advantage of Him. Is God merciful? Yes. Is He gracious? Yes. Is He long-suffering? So we have to do as much monkey business as we possibly can get away with to really push His mercy to the test, right? I think Paul said something about that. Shall we sin that grace abound? God forbid. No, you know what that is? That's dealing treacherously. That's not loyalty. That's not how we ought to deal with God. Oh, God will forgive me. And? So we should go do that? No. That's not how it's supposed to be. So Joshua said, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. You know why? Because that's treacherous. Say, oh God, I love You, but I'm going to serve this God over here. No, that's not loyalty. That's dealing treacherously. That's not being faithful. That's not following the idea of loyalty. He says, and Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Because guess what? This principle is, if you're going to be loyal, if you're going to have loyalty and serve something in sincerity and truth, then don't bounce them back and forth. Pick one. If you're going to serve, this chair, then serve the chair. Don't say, I'm going to serve God and then serve the chair. I mean, you don't bounce back and forth and say, okay, I'm going to serve the chair, but oh, well, I'm going to serve God. That's dealing treacherously. That's not being loyal to our God. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose to say whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. You understand that these folks were serious about this. They understood. They even reiterated all the things that God had done. And He had done those things. He was deserving of their loyalty. And thankfully, the people of that generation did serve the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. But unfortunately, as you get into the book of Judges, you see a turning away. And people begin to forget God and his mighty works. We ought not to be like that. We ought to be like this generation. And indeed serve the Lord. And being loyal to him. Putting away other gods and other things to worship. And only serving the Lord. Solomon, by the same token, was charged to, with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, serve God. You know how hard it is to be in singleness of heart? It's difficult for us, isn't it? We're pulled in so many different directions. You know, Jesus had something to say about that. He said that over in Matthew, he said lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. That's loyalty, folks. We've got to choose, like Joshua said, choose you this day. Like Solomon was commanded by his father to fear the Lord, to know God, and to serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Because the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. You understand that all of this took place early in Solomon's life. And he made a good choice for a while. And then, for it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. The Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Sad. The wisest, richest, most powerful man this world has ever seen had a hard time with this. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's loyalty. Being faithful. Enduring to the end. God wants us to be loyal to him. Completely. With a perfect heart. What about God's word? See, well, I'm loyal to God. I believe God is he's my God. That's who I serve. But when it comes to the Bible and to His Word, you know, some of the things I'm for and some of the things I'm not for. Well, how can you do that? You know, God and His Word are inseparable. They're inseparable. Hey, you can't just treat this like a smorgasbord and decide, oh, you want a little bit of this, but you don't want any of that. Or you know what, I'm just going to take my scissors and I'm going to cut that page out of my Bible because I don't believe that. Well, I don't think that's what God really wanted to say. So I'm just going to skip over that part. Wait a minute. Are you going to serve Him with a perfect heart? Are you going to be loyal to Him or not? Are you going to be loyal to His Word? Are you going to hide His words in your heart that you might not sin against God? Are you going to let His Word be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? Are you going to be like Solomon said to his son Rehoboam, that not to forget His law, but let thine heart keep my commandments? For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Are you stay true to the Word of God? Are you going to let God's Word guide you? Are you going to let His words show you the way to live? Being loyal to the Word of God. Are you going to let human reasoning destroy your relationship with God? Oh, well, this makes more sense to me, so I'm going to follow this path. But God's Word says, go this way. Don't deal treacherously with God. Deal truly with Him. Do not forsake Him. Do not follow a different path. Follow the Word of God. Timothy was instructed by Paul to let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Hey, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, right? Think on these things. We're supposed to meditate on this book and focus on it. And Jesus even said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Where do we find those? Right here. Are we being loyal to this book? You know, in our articles of faith and constitution and bylaws and things that we have here at this church, we have a simple statement that the foundation of our faith is this book right here. For all matters of faith and practice, it's in this book. It's not some tradition. It's not just some religion. Listen, I want to be loyal to this book. I want to be loyal to the Word of God. I want to be true to it, not dealing treacherously with it, because it's God's Word. Don't forget, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You understand, like I mentioned, that God and His Word are inseparable. So I'm going to be loyal to God, but I'm not going to be loyal to this book. Well, you just failed. You just failed. They're inseparable. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me,
ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know, it would have been easy, if you will, for Jesus, with all he went through, to just say, enough. I don't want to deal with this anymore. But he didn't do that, did he? He stayed loyal to his cause and to his God, God the Father. Over in 1 Timothy and chapter 6, you see, sometimes we have the inkling to go a different direction, because our human reasoning tries to creep in and lure us away. Paul said to Timothy in the last chapter of 1 Timothy, he says in verse 20, he said, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. You know, there'll be a lot of convincing people out there that will try to get you to believe that this really is just an old book, that it's not the Word of God. They say, oh, there's full of mistakes and errors, and well, you really can't trust what it says. Are you going to be loyal to the book or not? Are you going to be true to God and His Word or not? Well, he said, avoid those things. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. So not only loyalty to God and to his word, but loyalty to his church. Lord Jesus Christ said that the church is his bride, the bride of Christ. We ought to be loyal to the church. Hey, listen. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. They say, well, we just don't need as much church anymore. You know, with all the things that are going on, so much the more. I guess we need more church. Am I the only one happy about that? I'm for more church. Let's just have church every day this next year. How about that? No? No, no. I'll be here, so if y'all want to come join me. Nathan, you and me, buddy, right? Okay, we're up for it. Here we go. Come on. So much the more. We know we're not talking about a building. We're talking about an entity. The local church. Saved, baptized believers. You know what? Y'all are special. This place is special. We ought to be loyal to the Lord's church. In 2 Chronicles, we read about Solomon dedicating temple, and he said, hey, God, we know you don't live here in this earth, but we in much less this house which I have built, But he said, have respect therefore unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication. O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, and upon the place whereof thou hast said thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. This ought to be a special place to you. Come to the house of God and cry unto God. Say, I can do that anywhere. Oh, yes, you can. There's just something about coming to church. And there just ought to be something about coming to church. It just ought to do something for you. If it doesn't do anything for you, your doer's broken. I mean, I don't know. It ought to just be church. You got to be loyal to it. He said, so much the more as you see the day approaching. But not just coming to a particular place to serve God and to worship God and to be with God, but also the people that make up the body of believers, the church. Galatians chapter 6, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. As you do, I'm going to read to you a few more verses. In 1 Timothy 3, it says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You know, there's a way to behave in church. There's a way not to behave in church. When I be loyal to the church. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus was tired of people not treating the church like it should. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that had sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and of the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. You know, sometimes churches have just become a den of thieves. Or maybe just a place of entertainment. It's not a church like it's supposed to be. You say, oh, we need something new. We don't need something new. We need to stay loyal to what church is supposed to be. We need to stay loyal to how to behave in the local church. We have to stay loyal to what church is all about. And it's not about us. It's about him. You there in Acts chapter 2? These folks knew what to do at church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Just after 3,000 were saved and baptized and added to the church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, oh, I like this, continuing daily. What's that saying about church every day? Man, maybe that would be our new motto for this next year, church every day. 2022. Okay, here we go. Daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness. Uh-oh. And what? Oh, my! Singleness of heart. Man, Solomon was talked about that. Joshua talked about that. Man, that must be a thing. Yeah, it's called loyalty. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Moshe and I, just this thing. Listen, I'm looking around and I'm looking at some loyal people. But there may be some things in our lives that are maybe trying to creep in. Maybe steal away a little bit of that loyalty from our God. You know how much He deserves of it? A double L. All of it. I told you before, maybe not recently, but it's just kind of a thing that I say. It's the biggest little word I know. All. All of it. Serving with a perfect heart. Singleness of heart. If you're be single, then you're full of light. That's the way it's supposed to be. Being loyal to our God, to His Word, to the church.